So today on the program, happy to be able to chat with the Director of Emergency Management for the City of Quincy, Allie Sleeman, as we're now in the depths of winter, so a good time to get an update on how to prepare for winter storms and how also to help out your community. So, Mr. Sleeman, good to chat with you. Thanks for spending some time with us.
Good morning, Joe. Thanks for having me.
You are very welcome. As I mentioned, here we are now. Winter is in full swing for sure. We've already had our first major storm of the season, undoubtedly more to come. So what is it you'd like folks to know about preparing for winter right now?
One of the more important things is registering for emergency alerts. Here in the city, we use an alert notification platform, Alert Quincy, where we're able to officials are able to disseminate information, particularly about winter snowstorms, emergency snow rules for parking. Residents are able to go and register for those. You can text Alert Quincy to 99411, and you'll get a link to your cell phone, and you can register for those alerts. And when you register for those alerts, you can register to receive the alerts on your cellular phone, your email, or your home phone, any of the three, all the three, whatever you use most frequently. And so if you do not want to register via your cell phone by texting the text to enroll, you can also go to our website on the city of Quincy, quincyma.gov, and I believe we're going to share that link, Joe.
Absolutely. We'll put that up for folks to take note of, for sure.
And like I said, particularly in the winter with the emergency parking rules, it's important to be enrolled in this so you do get the call in case you're not checking social media, et cetera.
Yes, I've been enrolled for several years now, and during this last snowstorm, I got phone calls, I got texts, and I got emails because I'm signed up for all three, and I can tell you that it did work perfectly. So it's a great way to keep in touch with what's going on in the city, for sure.
That's great, Joe. Glad you got them. And then also wanted to share the information on winter storm protocol this season for the parking rules. It's an odd numbered side of the year, so during the snow rules, snow emergency, you should park on odd numbered side of the streets on non-emergency roads. Never on designated emergency arteries, no parking at all. Those are posted. And then on side streets, which are posted permanently as one-side parking, residents should continue to park on the side always allowed. Any issues with snow, if your street for whatever reason is accumulating snow, wasn't picked up, or something of that nature, you can call the DPW Snow Operation Hotline, 617-376-1927. You can also email them at snowhotline@quincyma.gov. And on that note, just wanted to give some props to the DPW guys and the job they did last week. I think that snowstorm caught everyone by surprise. I think we weren't expecting more than a foot. I believe we had 12.5 inches here in Quincy. So they did an outstanding job, and it was snowing continuously throughout the day for a long time. So they were tasked with continuing to plow streets multiple times, which they did a tremendous job of.
Yeah, and it really makes it all that much more important to adhere to the parking regulations. That way you can clear the streets as best as possible, because here we are now in this deep Arctic blast, and it turns into concrete, so you can't move it at all.
Yeah, it's very important to adhere to the emergency parking rules. I do not believe there was anybody towed this time, but I do know the Quincy police were out notifying people that were parked illegally to try and ensure they knew to move their cars, because if those cars are there, the plows can't get down the streets, and the street won't get plowed, and then everyone is in a bad situation. So please adhere to these rules. It's really important to keep the streets clear and safe for everyone.
Yep. And as you mentioned, the main arteries are clearly posted. Probably folks don't ever notice the red and white signs that have been there for all along, but that's what they are for. So take a minute to notice those. And then, as you mentioned, on the side streets, odd side, or on the permanent one-side parking, if that's how that street is designated. And that runs right through the wintertime, right?
Correct. During snow emergency parking rules.
Right.
It's not every day, but when a snow emergency is in effect, that goes for this season, odd side of the road, and no parking on emergency arteries, which like we mentioned, are clearly posted.
Yeah. And you'll know if there's a snow emergency if you're signed up for Alert Quincy, because
that's right. We'll put it out. Also, check the Quincy's City of Quincy Facebook site. They're always posting updates there. I know a lot of people actually check the social media more than anything else.
Yep.
So just be aware if generally if there's snow, the emergency rules could be in effect. So
yep.
Please try to be aware of that.
Yeah, we will, of course, post it here on Quincy Access Television as well. Folks can always use us as a resource, too. That'll be up on our channels during snow emergencies for sure.
Thanks, Joe.
Oh, of course, absolutely. Another thing that I know you wanted to talk about, which is very important, especially in the winter, but really all year long, is having an emergency kit available in your household.
That's right, Joe. Particularly now in the winter, with any type of power outage, you want to make sure you have some necessities on hand. But like you just mentioned, it's important to have all these items available year-round, because if you recall, the last week of October this year, I think it was October 27th, we had that catastrophic nor'easter that came rumbling through here. And a lot of damage, a lot of trees down, a lot of people were without power on the South Shore and in the city here. I think we had more than 10,000 out at one point. And it went on for a couple of days. I think there were some folks in the city that were out without power for 3 or 4 days just because National Grid was overwhelmed with the damage here on the South Shore and trying to restore the power. So if you have these items on hand, there's less to worry about. If you're without power, it's obviously an issue. But if you have some of these items, you'll be able to sustain yourself for a little while. Everyone should have at home somewhere, all these items should last them for 3 days in the event of a power outage. Water, 1 gallon per day per person for 3 days for sanitation and drinking. Non-perishable food. Some people have electric stoves. So if you don't have, no microwave, no stove, non-perishable food that doesn't require cooking refrigeration. Manual can opener. First aid kit. Either battery-powered radio, AM, FM radio, or a small TV that runs by batteries so you can get the news, flashlights with extra batteries, non-battery powered light sources, i.e. candles, please be careful with those.
Yeah.
A plug-in phone that doesn't require electricity, that doesn't plug into the wall, that simply, I know some people don't have that capability anymore. It's important to look into to make sure you have a phone that can plug into the wall.
Electricity. Most people don't have those copper lines anymore. Those are about a thing of the past, unfortunately.
Right, yeah. Which is, I do believe some people still have them, and
yep,
you can look into getting them. So, something you might want to look into. Battery-powered cell phone charger. A lot of, power goes out,
mm-hmm,
your cell phone's going to go out if you can't plug it in. So I think anybody can get those at the electronics store.
Yep.
Pick up one of those. Extra blankets, changes of warm clothes, and whatever other key items you need for personal hygiene, your prescription medication, pet supplies, if you have pets, supplies for your children, and try to keep these things all in a, readily accessible place. And, I was involved with some webinars and some conferences regarding the Lawrence gas emergency they had up there with the gas leak and the explosions.
Mm.
A lot of these people went to work that day and, weren't able to return to their homes for sometimes, over a week to get anything. So situation like that, you kind of want to have. So I would suggest everyone has a home emergency kit that's accessible in their car, one in the house, one in the car.
Okay.
I know it's tough to do, but, you never know what's going to happen. And I think we're going to post the link to this, Joe, which is on the city website as well, to access the home emergency kit.
Absolutely. We will do that.
And hopefully we can get it posted here when this program runs.
Just to be clear, it's you're not supplying actual kits for people, correct?
No, yeah. No, we are not. We are not. We do have a limited number of lanterns down here. If anybody wants to come down, schedule an appointment, they can call 617-376-1105.
Mm-hmm.
They're down here to be distributed to the general public. If they're interested in those, we can set up a time.
Okay.
Everything else in here, you are required to, not required, you are encouraged to procure yourself.
Sure, sure. And are there actual shelters, Allie, in the city if needed to be opened?
Yeah. We have a full sheltering plan.
Uh-huh.
We'll talk about that in a couple minutes. That was just completed in August, signed into law. We have multiple sites, and there's not one designated go-to shelter location in the city, just because of the geography mm-hmm. of the city, peninsulas, flood zones. We don't know what's going to happen, where the disaster is going to be. So, you know, any of the schools we can use, there's other locations that have, you know, been assessed. So there are plenty of shelter locations in the city, and, you know, knock on wood, we won't have to open one. There hasn't been an active shelter activation in the city in some time. Going back to October of this year, Weymouth actually had a regional shelter open for a little while, for a couple days there, I think right around Halloween, because of that ongoing power outage there on the South Shore with some of those towns where they were, you know, it was complete devastation as far as the trees going down and the power outages.
Yes, absolutely. And would folks be notified about the shelter openings in the same way through the alert system?
Yes, that's why it's important to register for the alerts.
Yeah.
Any type of emergency, not just snow emergencies, any type of unforeseen mm-hmm. emergency, mm-hmm. we're going to notify people via that alert system, social media as well. So it is important to register for the alerts. We also have the FEMA alerts, which go through directly to everybody's activated cell phone in a certain area. We haven't had to use those yet. There's certain requirements or type of events that those qualify for. We mm-hmm. haven't had one here in some time,
yep.
so which is good and bad. But
so
it's better to ensure you're registered for the Alert Quincy. Text that Alert Quincy to the 99411. It'll text you back a link. You click on the link and you register, and then you kind of alleviate your worries pretty much that if anything happens, you'll be notified, hopefully.
Yeah. Are you able to kind of regionalize those alerts, say if there's an issue only in Quincy Point, just notify folks there, or how does that work?
Yeah, so it is, we do have the capability to geo-target, which we've done in the past, mm-hmm. where we've had, for example, you know, a couple fires that were affecting parking and mm-hmm. moving through streets in certain neighborhoods. We sent some alerts to try to alleviate the traffic congestion mm-hmm. to let people know that, you know, these streets are blocked off. Same thing for construction. Mm-hmm. We have, you know, it's been a few times DPW has used this system to alert neighbors in certain neighborhoods that streets are closed.
Yes,
so,
yep.
So in addition to, you know, extreme emergency events, it's also, you know, a system where, you know, city officials can notify residents of any type of event that they need to know about.
Yeah, it could be a small thing, a water main break perhaps.
Exactly.
You know, car accident for temporary. But it could be a larger, I mean, there's a lot of industry in the city, as you're well aware. There's a maritime interest as well. Under a major flight path to Logan, God forbid. So there's 4 T stations. There's a lot going on, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of things to think about, Joe.
Absolutely. Let's talk a little bit about the City Comprehensive Emergency Management Plan.
Yes, so a big accomplishment for the department. We completed that in August along with the sheltering plan. About 3.5 years of work put into that, interagency coordination with all city departments, multiple departments participated in that, the police, the fire, DPW, public buildings. And essentially that plan includes multiple smaller plans for each different type of scenario. There's a winter storm plan in there. There's evacuation plans. There's plans for, you know, notifications of flood alerts, just like we talked about the alerts. Every different scenario you could think about.
Yeah.
And a lot of work went into that. It's a very comprehensive plan, well over 300 pages. You know, just wanted to thank the other departments for their participation, particularly the police and the fire, DPW, public buildings, for their work and getting that put together, which you know, took a few years. I think that was our first update of the plan, complete update, rewrite, in over 10 years. So definitely increases our preparedness for whatever type of event we might encounter. You know, there's hazmat information in there mm-hmm. as far as where the sites are, how to respond, what they're maintaining there, pretty much anything you could think about. So happy to get that done and feel very confident in the plan.
Congratulations on that. Is that something that the public can see, Allie? Is that a public document?
There are certain parts of the plan that the public can access mm-hmm. In writing. There's some parts of the plan just for operational security, mm-hmm. You know, that are not releasable.
Sure.
There's all kinds of information there, you know, that raises personal security issues. So we don't want to put the entire plan out there.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're a citizen in the city and you have a specific question about something that's included in the plan, we're happy to share.
Okay, very good. The shelters that you talked about, now those, you don't keep them kind of ready to go all the time, is that right? Only on an as need basis?
So as far as setting them up for sheltering operations, no, but generally these buildings are being occupied and operated daily on a daily basis. There's something in there, whether they're a school or or a hall or something like that. So they are being operated. As far as the sheltering equipment and set up for shelters, we keep that at our location.
Okay.
We keep the sheltering equipment here along with the trucks and everything. Everything's loaded, ready to go.
Yep.
And, you know, real-world scenario, in April of 2020, I believe, we went and set up a shelter at the South Shore YMCA for Father Bills. And, you know, it was a great test of our capabilities. We never did it before, and we were actually able to deploy that shelter in less than an hour.
Wow, that is impressive, yeah.
Yeah, trucks are staged. We drove them down there, augmented personnel from different departments, worked together, and set up the shelter. So, it you know, we definitely have the capability to do that rapidly as required.
And you also have a vehicle dedicated just to that end, is that right?
We do have sheltering trailers. A new update to the department, we just got our a mobile command center / disaster response vehicle. That came in, I want to say January of this year, last year, correction, so January 2021.
Okay.
And this vehicle is about 28 feet long. It has three full command workstations in there with dispatch capabilities. And it's a great asset, particularly for the police department to use during events. They've used it multiple times during parades, the General's Bridge event. They used it just simply to coordinate their you know, their operations out of their, you know, rather than their dispatch, they can do it on location remotely.
Yep.
And so it's a huge capability that we have. You know, we can use it if there's, you know, some type of emergency event in a, you know, in a certain neighborhood, we can deploy that vehicle with food and water to distribute. There's a lot of different things we can do with that vehicle. So that came in last year, you know, via FEMA grant, no cost to the city. And it's you know, it definitely gives us expanded capabilities citywide for all departments, particularly public safety, police, fire.
Yeah.
Emergency management.
So important to have us kind of centralized headquarters, right, for communication purposes, really.
I mean, it's very important, you know, for example, the Christmas parade, that's an example, you know, and also to get the, you know, people out of the elements. You know,
true.
It's warm, it's heated, get to get inside. You can monitor pretty much everything from inside of the vehicle with the communications equipment that we have inside.
Sure. So. Tell me, if you can, about the Quincy Community Emergency Response Team, CERT, CERT, right?
That's right, Joe. So, you know, we just reinstated the CERT team, and we just finished our first CERT training course in November. And, you know, we actually had it set to start March 15th of 2020.
Ah.
And we had about 45 people signed up for the first class. We were set to go March 2020, had everything put together, and then COVID hit. So
yes.
It was on hold for a while. So we did start in September with an 8-week course, so we met once weekly for 2 hours. And we did it hybrid just simply because you know, sometimes we require the training to be in person. We social distance, and we cut the course in half just to be able to space these people out. So we had 20 people in the course rather than 40. Mm-hmm. So 18 community members completed the course. Officers from the Quincy Police Department and also paramedics from Brewster Ambulance were the instructors for the 8-week course. Total of 20 hours of disaster training. And it provided the people in the course with, you know, they enhanced their capabilities to assist themselves, their families, other members of the community during disasters and emergency scenarios. Some of the training they received was disaster preparedness skills, response skills, basic medical operations, first aid, fire safety, basic sheltering if they want to volunteer for any type of shelter activation, light search and rescue team organization, and disaster psychology. So it was a very informative course. Each of these 18 citizens that completed the course are more prepared.
Hmm.
As well as their families, because they can share this information. And I just wanted to thank the Quincy Police Department for providing the instructors, particularly Sergeant Billy Ward and Officer Evan Sorgi served as the instructors, along with Chris DeBona from Brewster Ambulance. They, week in, week out, did a tremendous job. And then also I wanted to thank other members of Brewster Ambulance for serving as instructors as well. The feedback we got from the members of the that participated in the course was just amazing. And you know, as soon as we have enough people that are interested, we'll run another class, hopefully maybe this summer.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're going to share the information of how to register. You can register right on the city website on under the community emergency management team.
Yes.
Please share that link so folks can know how to join. And if you have any questions, you can call the office here, 617-376-1105.
And would these be folks that would be perhaps, you know, called into action if there were an emergency?
They could be.
Okay.
Yeah. Once they complete this course, they'll be certified to participate in disaster operations, whether some type of emergency distribution of a commodity, water, food, things of that nature. There's different things they can help with. Search and rescue. If there's a person missing, we can always, you know, use volunteers to help with searching. And, you know, these people have that. They have this training. And then everything else they can use on a daily basis, whether they're activated or not, the medical operations, the fire safety, knowing, you know, how to respond if there's a fire in your home, what to do, get your family out of the house, having a response plan, medical operations if someone in your family gets injured, how to assist, or just anybody at all if you come across someone that needs medical assistance. So it's important training, and it's we're glad to offer it.
Yeah, and something I think is worth noting is if folks are concerned about possibly being held liable for anything while they're volunteering, they need not be, right?
No, there's a release that they sign. You know, I'm not sure what they would be held liable for.
Well, right, you're trying to help somebody, right?
Yeah, trying to help somebody, yeah. You know, whatever they're comfortable with. I mean, we're not going to, you know, suggest that people, you know, put themselves out there for some type of liability. But
sure.
Joe, if you fell on the ground, I'd help you. I wouldn't be worried about any liability.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, and yeah, no worries.
And I wouldn't sue you.
Thank you.
Anything else we should let folks know about right now, Ali?
No, I think that's other than being cognizant, it is the winter.
Yeah.
I didn't check the temperature in the last hour, but it was about 9 degrees when I was outside last. So day like today, if you have pets, try not to leave them outside very long.
Yeah.
You know, try to stay inside if you can.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be pretty brutal. I think this is another day this week. Yeah, I think it's maybe tomorrow, potentially tomorrow, where it's going to be the same temperature.
Yeah, it's you know, it is that time of year, certainly, when we get this kind of weather. So all the precautions that we've grown so accustomed to, if we're from this part of the country, should be put into place this time of year, that's for sure.
Yeah, this weekend's going to be pretty frigid, too. We're looking at a low of 3 on Saturday, 7 on Sunday, so pretty cold.
Yes, indeed. Although, folks in Alaska are saying, oh, that's a summer day for us.
Right, and then again, with the snow emergency information, you know, during the snow emergencies, please try to stay off the roads unless you absolutely have to be.
Yeah.
You know, if you're an essential worker going to work, understand that. But, you know, please try to adhere to the parking rules, stay off the roads unless you absolutely need to. Register for Alert Quincy. You can, you know, text Alert Quincy to 99411. Register on the city website as well. And just so you have that number, 617-376-1927 for the snow operation hotline for DPW.
Okay, very good. Good to talk to you, Ali. Appreciate the time. And if we can do anything else here at QATV, please don't hesitate. Give us a call. We'd be happy to help.
Joe, thanks for having me.
Very welcome. Have a very happy and safe winter and 2022.
You as well, Joe. Take care.
Bye-bye.